Welcome to Ask an Innovator, where we interview senior executives about innovation. You can find us at askaninnovator.com or subscribe with your favorite podcast app. I'm your host, Josh Barker, CEO of City Innovation Labs. Well, today I've got with me Spencer Gordon. He's a senior digital director at Anheuser-Busch. And Spencer, if you wouldn't mind telling a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name is Spencer Gordon. I'm originally from the greater Chicago area. Went to school at WashU in St. Louis. And from there, I started working for Anheuser-Busch. So I've been at Anheuser-Busch ever since I was in school. I've kind of bounced around different roles after starting with the company in one of our rotational programs, and have since progressed through the marketing department. And I now lead the digital team at Anheuser-Busch and our in-house creative team, Draftline.
Awesome. Well, we always start with this question. So Spencer, what is innovation to you?
Innovation to me is basically how companies can come with new solutions that can change, like can appeal to an ever-changing environment. So for me, it's basically taking something, reinventing it in a way that's keeping up with consumer culture, or pushing basically consumer culture to a new direction.
Sure. And you're doing that through Draftline, right?
Yeah. So Draftline is basically our company's reaction to a changing climate, right? I think for the first time, what you're seeing is companies are spending more and more in digital marketing. Consumers are spending more time in new mediums. A lot of those mediums, people are paying not to view ads. And I think as a company, you know, we're a traditional advertiser, right? I think in the past, we ran a lot of TV commercials. We ran a lot of traditional campaigns. And what we were seeing was that we did a lot of our own analytics, a lot of our own in-house media buying, but we were outsourcing all of our creative. And I think that there's amazing creative agencies that exist in the world. But for us, there was a lot of things that we thought that we could do quickly to connect kind of the media and the analytics better to our creative. So by launching Draftline, what we were able to do is kind of have the full 360 picture of the entire marketing process. And that's allowed us now to free up bandwidth of our existing agencies, allowing them to focus on more of their specialties, a little bit what they're better on. It's helped us facilitate best practice sharing across all different partners so that we're able to provide insights and analytics and strategy even to our existing agencies as well as our own internal teams, and really connect the dots of the marketing process. We're able to see something all the way from a concept to an execution, then judging kind of how things working, if it's not working, making and fine-tuning that creative and pushing it out to then have a better final product. So for me, totally changing the ways of working from our traditional ways to be much more nimble and always on.
It seems like there's some pretty big advantages, especially when you're internalizing anything. I mean, you just kind of let me know when we were initially talking that it seems like when you first come into Anheuser-Busch, they want to show you a lot of different areas of how the business works and have an internal digital creative agency really know the insights and outs so deeply of Anheuser-Busch. Seems like a pretty strategic advantage.
Yeah, I think for me, it's less about how we're dealing with all agencies, right? It's more about how we're upskilling our own internal people. So I think for me, the climate of marketing has changed in a big way, in the sense that people are now, you know, they're spending more time on their phone, they're spending more time on their computer, and our dollars from a production, a media standpoint, are very much moving that way. And I think what you're seeing in the industry is it's such a new space for a lot of brands to get into, and there's just hasn't been that much understanding. So Draftline has been an amazing vehicle for us to help bring in new creative talent to the company, bring in more tech savvy and digital people to the company that can help train our existing workforce, really interpopulate with the existing marketing department, and kind of upskill some of the technical things that we haven't had just because it hasn't been our bread and butter in the past. And I think alongside that, what we've been able to do is really, since we are an internal team, it does help to know some of the intricacies of the companies and the ways of working that we can then share with both our internal and external stakeholders. So we're able to kind of connect the dots and say, you know what, this is working really well. This is what the brand needs. This is what isn't working well. How do we go and kind of apply the best practices to an area that needs development and really help everyone move that better direction overall?
Now, help me understand a little bit. So Draftline, is that a separate department? Is it a separate like corporate entity that's wholly owned by Anheuser-Busch? Like how, from a structure standpoint, like what is Draftline?
Yes. So Draftline, it's an internal agency. So it's basically, it reports into the marketing function. It's part of the company. It's part of the overall connections group within our marketing team. So I myself lead the DraftLine team as well as the Anheuser-Busch digital team. My boss, Rod Trier, oversees sponsorship, digital, which includes DraftLine media and experiential marketing.
Gotcha. Okay. And how long has DraftLine been around for?
We launched in May of 2018, so a little bit over a year.
Okay. And how many people are in DraftLine right now?
We have 62 people that work within the DraftLine team.
Oh, nice. Awesome. That's grown quite a bit. That's a lot of stuff. Go ahead.
It has. Yeah, no, it's grown very quickly. I think, the world has changed fast. And I think once, we kind of evaluated that there was a need, we were kind of testing and iterating, seeing like, does it make sense for us to bring in creative talent to the company? And we started, we piloted on one brand. That brand was Michelob Ultra last summer. I think we were able to quickly learn, that we can do creative well if you're connecting it to strategy, insights, analytics, digital media, that we can make things that were performing well, do it fast because we know the business pretty well. We're sitting in the same building. So there's like this communication that's very easy communication that's happening between us and the brand team. And basically after showing some initial success on one brand, we were quickly able to build the case and replicate across the entire portfolio. So today our 62-person team is operating across all the different brands within Anheuser-Busch in the U.S. And kind of operating with each one in a slightly different way.
Hmm. Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, 42, you said 42 brands?
There's 42 different brands in the Anheuser-Busch portfolio, but they're grouped under then some parent brands, right? So there's Bud Light, but then within Bud Light, there's Bud Light Lime, Bud Light Orange, Bud Light Platinum. Within Michelob Ultra, there's Michelob Ultra, there's Michelob Ultra Pure Gold, Michelob Ultra Amber, a few different products that sit within that. So, but in total, the creative work that we're doing is around 42 brands.
Yeah, and that's a lot of work. No wonder there's quite a few people in DraftLine right now. It's especially when, I think you had mentioned to scale to more personalized and localized marketing, right? So that's a lot to. Can you give some examples of how you guys are doing that with different brands of personalizing like locally?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, in the past, marketers had to send one message out to many people, right? When you do a traditional TV broadcast, you might have a message that's going 1 to 10 million people, right? You run one spot, it might be 30 seconds, it might be 15 seconds. You're running the same thing over and over in all different channels. I think with the power of digital marketing, what you're seeing is a fragmentation of consumers' time and attention. And there's more and more platforms and there's more and more places where consumers are really spending their time and consuming different media channels, right? I think for us, the way that our brand shows up, it used to be a one-to-many message where now we're able to take that message and make it more personal and make it more local. So I'll give an example with something like Bud Light's NFL campaign. In the past, we would run NFL TV creative towards the general audience during NFL broadcast games. Now what we're doing is we're cutting that content. We're making it where it's featuring each of the local teams that we sponsor in each market. And depending on the type of fan you are, you're going to see different content that is more likely to resonate with you. It's more likely to resonate with the fan group that we have, and therefore able to translate one key message and make it more personal. So that's just one example of what we do on a larger brand, but we're really doing that channel by channel, app by app, platform by platform, because the specs that you might see on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and Snapchat are going to be slightly different. With the different targeting that we're able to do, we can appeal to all different demographics of people, all different locations. And really that has allowed us to take messaging with huge brands and make them relevant at the local level, make them relevant to the individual consumer, which helps us move the needle, right? Because at the end of the day, people want brands that mean something to them, that are differentiated. And sometimes it takes a bit more explanation or a slightly different message that's able to help us able to deliver that message.
Can you give like a tangible example of like a specific brand you have and how that's appealed differently across the board?
Sure. I think like we'll look at a traditional brand like Budweiser. I think historically people think of Budweiser as being an all-American domestic beer, something that's one for many people. And that's definitely the core heritage of the brand. When you look at Budweiser itself has a few different audiences that we look to appeal to. We have, an older demographic that's used to drinking Budweiser that you think of, traditional American heritage. You think of farming, you think of baseball, you think of burgers. All those things are amazing for the brand. It's the bread and butter of why the brand exists. But at the same time, millennials have a different value system. There's different things that they might think of or be passionate about that we're able to appeal to. So, for example, an older consumer with Budweiser is very, very interested in the MLB and in baseball, whereas a younger consumer might be a lot more interested in the NBA, right, and basketball. And I think for us, by taking the same brand, we're actually able to have different messaging of what we would do with the baseball audience and what we're able to do with an NBA audience. If we were to double click into that, you would say, hey, in the NBA, there's different types of markets that exist, right? You might have a market in LA that is a lot more Hispanic, much more bicultural in terms of the language preference, in terms of the background of the people, how they think, how they act, what they wear, et cetera, versus, you know, something that you might see in Oklahoma City, right? Which might be a bit more Caucasian, slightly older. And I think what we're able to do with the brand is say, hey, we can take a key message that we have overall and make it relevant to that individual person in the city that they have, make it relevant to the demographic that we're appealing to, whether it's the MLB or the NBA. And all of a sudden, you take a brand that's known for Americana and American heritage, and we're able to make it more relevant, still building on the core brand DNA, but to a consumer that we're trying to win over as a group.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And there must be, I mean, my mind goes to, there must be a tremendous amount of data as well you guys deal with data intelligence and big data for even sifting through understanding how to localize certain commercials and certain ads. Is that right?
I think the most important thing that all marketing departments and all companies need to have in today's day and age is a direct relationship with their customer, right? And I think that, to me, that's the difference between companies that are winning and losing today. And so for us, the way that we think about that is really through data, right? Data meaning people, meaning knowing more about the audience that we're trying to appeal to and really putting people first at the core of our business. So what we're looking through is all the different metrics that we have across the board, who people are, where they're from, what they're interested in, what kind of motivates them. And then from there, we're able to then try and translate that down to creative that we're able to use to appeal to those people. I think for me, that's been the number one success of Draftline overall, is that we're basically looking and saying, okay, what are ways that we're segmenting groups and different audiences, customizing the message, using the right brand to develop creative ideas, and then scaling that across the portfolio. And to me, that's the one thing that we can do internally that we probably can't do externally, is have that direct relationship with the customers. What we can do and what we often do is share that with our existing agencies, because we always want to know who our customer is. That's not something that we'd ever want to outsource, but we can give that to our best partners, and then they're able to take that and translate that into action and different creative messaging for different channels or different brands. And so for me, that to me has been the number one initiative that I think we've really been focusing on in the last couple of years, is saying, how do we have a more direct relationship? How do we understand more about our consumer so that we can tailor our product, tailor our messaging to win them over time? And I think the biggest thing for us is we're not starving for data. What we're doing is we're starving for insights. How do we look at big data and then translate that down to tangible examples or tangible things that we're able to action quickly?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Everyone I've talked to, they're data heavy, but information poor. And that's what you're talking about. How can we take the data, the massive amount of data, but have insights from it to say, these are the things that people want without them actually telling us based on these trends.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. So where, you know, from you guys, are you guys doing rapid testing with your broad audiences as well, with different ad sets and different projects, where you're just testing out different markets as well to get some of that data to better understand?
Absolutely. So in the past, you know, you would run one piece of creative and you would kind of set it and forget it, and you would see what happened, just because, again, that's very much TV, that's very much radio. You make a few different assets. Now what we're doing is everything we're doing is testing and iterating, right? You launch a bunch of different things, you're seeing, okay, here's all the different segments we've created, here's the different messages. It's kind of like a stock portfolio. You're seeing, hey, this one's delivering X amount of return, this one's getting better clicks, better shares, more view through, this one's not. We're pausing investment and we're moving investment to the higher performing content. We're also looking at the creative, making iterations, fine tuning the edits. And over time, what we're able to do is take a wide basket of messages and ads that we're running, narrow them based on what's working, what's not working, promote the ones that are working better. And then the ones that aren't performing better, we go back, we fix, we find out what's driving the bad performance. How do we improve it? And over time, we're building on those best practices, and we've been able to watch all of our digital metrics kind of tick up over time, because it's something that we're constantly learning, constantly evolving. And then basically what we're doing is we're sharing those best practices across the portfolio, saying, hey, if you target X consumer, this is what's working really well. If you target Y consumer, you should consider doing this. And I think just by the willingness to test and learn and to iterate, we've been able to much more specifically hone in on things that work well.
Oh, I'd imagine. I mean, you're basically speaking customer development process and lean startup. So, I mean, you guys sounds like are moving very, very rapidly.
I think that's been a big adjustment of the team, is saying, hey, how do we shift the mindset of a traditional marketer and make it much more nimble, make it much more agile, be willing to test and learn and iterate what you're doing. And rather than having a TV commercial that goes to digital, taking digital content that you're able to dark host and test with different audience and then scale it to TV. So really using this as the tip of the spear for how we develop content and how we kind of shift the marketing mentality into the future.
That's awesome. So in Draftline, do you guys have that culture to where, is that part of like a training where your customer discovery, customer development or lean startup, or is that something you look for as you hire people to add into your staff, that they already have that knowledge of, hey, here's how we're doing things, rapidly experimenting, moving quick?
It's definitely a combination of the two. I think as a company, we have been looking to bring in more talent that understand data, that understand digital mediums, that understand creative, which is why Draftline was born, right? Because I think it's something that we've needed, and that's going to help us kind of be the change agent for the future of marketing. And I think at the same time, then, as we've built in specialists, we've also been changing our processes. So over the last year, we've been kind of, just as we've been testing and learning with creative, testing and learning with our org chart, testing and learning with the ways that we work, testing and learning with how we approach each day, we've moved our tools into a much more agile methodology. We have daily stand-ups. We're talking about, hey, what are the key priorities for the day? How is this going to move the needle? What things can fall off our plate? What needs to be prioritized? And over time, we've really shifted to, now that we have the right skill set and the right people in place, really shifted to this more agile methodology, right? That we're trying to put the consumer first. We're always trying to test and iterate and refine what we're doing over time.
It seems like a shift from, you know, I worked at a large company, and it seems like a lot of large companies are very risk averse. It seems like embracing risk, but making the risk smaller, but and then faster, small ones, right? Like, hey, here's what we're gonna treat these as experiments, and we're gonna run all these and tests, and we're gonna test all these things, get enough data. Then once we get positive data on one of them, let's put more money and resources into, you know, betting on one that has higher return. We saw on a smaller scale.
That's exactly correct. And I think that's been the big shift of the company in the past, where even with our innovation process, which is run out of what we call our Apollo 11 team, we used to have a process where we would bet big behind one or two things throughout the year, and it'd be a big bet, and there was a good chance of success, but also a good chance of failure. And now what we're moving towards is much more like almost like a little venture capital fund, where we basically have a lot smaller brands, hyper-localized, that we're learning at zip code level, we're scaling to a state level, we're then bringing nationally, and kind of a much more process driven test and learn and iterate type methodology. And what we've been able to see, and I think to the point that you were making, is we're taking strategic bets, right? We're not taking high profile, high risk, high return type mentality. We're taking, hey, what are small bets that we can place, see if we can have some success, and then scale very quickly to what can become a very big and strategic bet for the company. And I think what we're seeing in our innovation process is very much how we're iterating the rest of our marketing team as well, where we're looking, you know, to shift the way that we approach digital content and digital media. So my team is a direct reflection of what the broader company is doing, which is basically saying, hey, the landscape's changing quickly. We need to change our ways of working to keep up the culture, to lead the future growth of what's happening in the alcohol vertical. And then from there, change the products that we're offering to make sure that they're resonating with consumers, kill the things that don't make sense, scale the things that are working well that we could bring nationally, and then therefore, you know, grow our top line overall as a company.
By the way, Apollo 11 is a pretty sweet innovation group name.
Yeah, I love that as well too. It's definitely something that builds on, you know, some heritage and nostalgia, but I think it's very clear in the vision, which is like, hey, if you take someone, you give them a task, and you give them the right tools and training, there's no doubt in their mind that they can take things to the next level and really, you know, not to be cliche, but take it out of this world.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Awesome. It sounds like you guys at Draftline are doing some really amazing things.
Yeah, I think for me, it's not just Draftline. I think Anheuser-Busch in general is really trying to change the trajectory of what we're doing. And I think we've been very strategic. And it's taken something all the way from the top down of like this new mentality of, hey, we're going to lead the future growth of the category. So what do we need to do? What walls do we need to break down? What processes do we need to change to help us get there? And to me, Draftline has been one of the agents that have helped us do that, right? Because we now have the tools in the marketplace via digital that can help you test and learn quickly, that can help you get closer to your consumer, that can help you personalize your message, that can really change the game for a very large company. They can take a large company and make it feel local and make it feel small. And to me, that's been the success of my team, is that we're able to kind of connect the dots and really help the company to that end goal.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to go into a segment called Innovation Hot Seat. So this is new, and I'd love to, basically, we're going to ask you 4 to 6 questions, rapid fire, and hoping you can give me some answers to them. They're not that hard.
Okay. All right. Sounds great.
These are a little bit more on a personal level. So what podcast do you subscribe to?
How I Built This with Guy Raz.
How I Built, oh, that's a good one. Yes.
I listen to a lot of podcasts. I try and totally change the ways of thinking for me. Everything from business to religion to political news to innovation. I like them all, and every single day is a different show.
Oh yeah. What was the favorite episode out of that?
Of How I Built This?
Yeah, How I Built This.
My favorite one was, I honestly love the episode about Spanx with Sarah Blakely. I thought it was fascinating, a category I didn't know much about, an entrepreneur I didn't know much about. Very cool to see that, you know, a great idea can go fast quickly if you have the right insight. And I think that's what she really honed in on, saying, hey, like, you know, she knew the consumer better than anyone else. So a simple product innovation is a multi-billion dollar brand today.
That's awesome. All right. One person you would invite to dinner.
I'd really like to invite Jeff Bezos to dinner.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a really interesting guy to talk to. Just amazing innovations and such a vision for business and the way he's been changing the landscape. Would love to pick his brain about his future plans.
Oh yeah. Amazon has their like fingers in everything right now. And it's really fascinating to see. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, you know, it's such a powerful brand and they offer so many different services and brands and different things. But what I've been most impressed with is their ability to, again, think about what does the consumer want and how they're able to deliver it across all their different platforms and vehicles. Just really interesting to have the foresight that he started with books, but he just built out the whole distribution strategy and the infrastructure that can now handle all these different verticals. And he's disrupting every single industry kind of one by one. To me, very inspirational guy.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's interesting at, you know, City Innovation Labs, we actually, that is one of the number one conversations we have across all of the industries we work in, is talking about Amazon, how it's disrupting their market. Very, very interesting. So, all right. One thing you'd bring with you on a desert island, and it can't be a person.
Could it be a satellite phone?
A satellite phone. Hey, we'll roll with that.
Something to get me off that island. Okay.
Oh man, are you an introvert or are you extrovert? Like, do you get recharged being alone or with people?
Very much an extrovert.
Okay, so then that phone is completely necessary. You go insane.
Exactly.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, what about the last book you read?
The last book I read was A Gentleman in Moscow.
Oh, okay. I haven't read that one.
Yeah, it's great. It's about this guy who's, he's basically in house arrest within a hotel in Moscow right around the start of the Russian Revolution. So very, very interesting fiction book, but definitely one I really like reading.
Okay. Now, are you a fiction reader, nonfiction, or combination?
To be honest with you, mostly nonfiction. So that was a one-off. Definitely why it stuck out of my mind.
Yeah, that was what I was wondering. I was like, man, I'm more of a nonfiction reader, like, you know, innovation, leadership, startup, you know, that sort of thing. And then my wife is the very, very much the fiction fan. So it's good to have a mix, though. So
I typically like to read nonfiction and more historical fiction. So more historical nonfiction. So things that have happened in the past that you can learn from. For me, I think, yeah, the few ones that I feel that I've liked the most typically are within, you know, world history or, you know, like I just read the Alexander Hamilton, the book that inspired the play. I read a little about Bad Blood, the story about Theranos and like the whole company, just different things that have happened that you can then take lessons and learn from.
Yeah, those are solid. Those are solid. I like those too. All right. Favorite place you've traveled and why?
I would say Australia. To me, just such a beautiful country. So many nice, fun people. A lot of different activities that you can go and do. And, you know, on the other side of the world. So something that has been, you know, just very foreign and very distant from what I experience on the day to day.
Nice. Nice. All right. The first thing you do in the morning.
The first thing I do in the morning is I check my email. Probably not the healthiest. And then I kind of get into my morning routine.
Dude, do you, and then a follow-up question is, do you do it from bed on your phone?
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
So right. I grab my phone and I start scrolling through my email.
And the last one, so what do you do to unwind?
I love to go to the movies and kind of just zone out and watch a movie. And I also love to go outdoors and play golf. Those things to me are the most relaxing things that I would choose to do.
Nice. Nice. And what about, the movies, what's the favorite movie? So far this year, or of all time, if that's easier.
Yeah. My favorite movie of all time. I'm thinking there's so many good ones. I would have to say it's probably Saving Private Ryan. I love that movie.
That's a good one. It's a classic. I mean, how many years ago was that?
Yeah, I don't know. 15, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, but, it's a great movie. Something that, always makes you appreciate, you know, the country and those who have sacrificed for it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Cool. Well, that's the whole interview. So that's, you're out of the hot seat now. So I just thought we'd like to throw in a little bit of a mix of a fun questionnaire and to get to know you a little bit better. And then I guess one last one. So innovation, what is the most interesting thing in the facet of innovation for you? What's the most fascinating thing right now?
I think the most fascinating thing is just how quickly the world is changing. I think to me, consumers and technology are moving so fast, right? And so the everyday norms that happened, you know, 10, 15, 30, 50 years ago have completely been overhauled. And so I think to me, what you're seeing are companies that are willing to change the ways of working, that are willing to get closer to the consumer, kind of not get stuck in the past and be complacent, are the ones that are most successful. And so to me, innovation isn't just something that is, you know, it's not a phase, it's not a fad, it's something that's here to stay, because it's the only thing that you can do to stay relevant in a changing environment. And so to me, I feel like it's the vehicle to survive, you know, for a company to survive, for individuals to survive in an ever-changing and more complex world.
That's good. Yeah, I totally agree. And I said that was the last thing.
Okay, yeah, keep asking all good.
One key takeaway or learning you would bestow upon someone else through your experience, your life experience, what would you say that would be in terms of innovation or in terms of building something new or what we've talked about? What learning would you say that would be?
So for me, the biggest learning that I have is just learning how to ask the right questions, right? I think the biggest experience I have, even starting Draftline, the first digital agency that we've had internally at Anheuser-Busch, has been, I know that I am not the biggest expert on any specific topic compared to all the people that exist in the world. There's so many people that are so talented, that have such great skill sets. But for me, I think the one reason we've been able to be successful and I've been able to be successful is because I've just been able to ask 1,000 questions and then take the information and the things that I've learned from other people and apply it and simplify it to a specific, you know, task or project. And so for me, I think if I got thrown in anywhere, I feel comfortable that I could just kind of ask questions and try and get my way out of it. And so for me, the willingness to kind of just be humble, to trust other people that are around you, to make sure that you do your due diligence and ask the things that will help you clarify and make something simple and tangible to understand would be the best advice I could give anyone.
Mm, that's some solid advice. And finding out the right question to ask oftentimes goes down. You got to find the core why of things. So it's good. Asking the right questions is super important. Totally agree with that. Awesome. Well, thanks for your time, Spencer.
Hopefully this was helpful. You know, never know how the answer is going to turn out, but I was able to hit on some of the points that you guys were looking for, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. You certainly did. It was a great Ask an Innovator. So I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for listening to Ask an Innovator. Visit us on our website, www.askaninnovator.com. This podcast has been sponsored by City Innovation Labs.